Tree Show, broadcasting on enlightenradio.org, and a player always running, almost always running, at player.enlightenradio.org. And this morning, today's program, which is taking place on, where are we at here? March the 13th, 2024. Yeah, the Ides of March are approaching, when Brutus slew Julius Caesar. Et tu, Brute? You, my friend? Et tu, Brute? The Ides of March. And of course, after it happened, everybody could refer backwards to signs and prophecies that should have told the prophet, at least, that Julius Caesar was about to be assassinated by his good buddy, who was going to bring down the Senate. That's Caesar was tired of the Senate. Yes, he was, and you know he had an army. He could do what he wanted. So, you know, he was going to cross the Rubicon and, you know, nullify whatever disagreement he was having about with the Senate. Anyway, so, and Brutus was in the Senate, and thereby was part of a conspiracy to murder Brother Caesar, the liberator of all Gaul, North Africa. Parts of, you know, other parts of the what became the Roman Empire, but at least the beginning parts. His nephew or whatever, Augustus Caesar, carried on in splendid style. And, of course, we had the Roman era. Well, does that have any relation at all to the poems of the day? Let's find out before we say no. In toto amar y in toto amar servir. Come, south wind, a poem for the Pentecost. Okay. That's where we're going to start today. And we're going to discover it together. Okay, I'm going to, the name of the poem, well, it has a little introduction to it. It's interesting. You know, some poems have an interesting, there's a name that Janet would have for it, an epigram or something like that at the beginning that is like a little text introduction to the poem proper. Anyway, it's called Come, South Wind, a poem for the Pentecost. Mr. Calasanz emailed me this truly lovely poem by the American poet Jessica Powers as a Pentecost gift. Of course, Pentecost, we're celebrating the ascension of Jesus into heaven, at least in the more or less Catholic Christian tradition. Anyway, Jessica Powers, also known by her name in religion as Sister Miriam of the Holy Spirit, OCD. That's the old Christian date. She died in 1988 and is buried, almost said burned, in the Carmel of the Mother of God. In Wisconsin. Got that? Carmel of the Mother of God in Wisconsin is where Sister Miriam of the Holy Spirit, OCD, is buried. She died in 1998 and is buried there. Anyway, this poem calls forth my own poorly expressed but deeply felt prayer for myself and for this Pentecost. Come, love, who awakens love, come, burning fire, of God's own infinite love. Come, south wind, blow warmth into the sterile and wintry landscapes in our hearts. Provoke sudden springs and lush summers, that we might become sanctuary and pasture, home and nourishment for my beloved shepherd's hungry flock. Okay, we're going to do that again. You know, I'm not sure that poem makes any sense at all. But, you know, so a deeply felt prayer for myself and for us this Pentecost. Okay, I guess that's, you know, you're asking, will there be any ascension for us? That's a good question. You know, and I better, I probably should be completely accurate with what the definition of Pentecost is: a Christian festival celebrating. Oh, I had it wrong. It's not the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The Pentecost is after Jesus ascends to heaven. Okay, and it goes like this: the Christian festival celebrates the descent of the Holy Spirit onto the disciples of Jesus after his ascension, held the seventh Sunday after Easter. Okay? Pentecost. All right. So we're celebrating this descent, what happened? You know, the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. So, you know, Peter, Paul, and John are getting up for breakfast, and this descent takes place on the seventh Sunday after the ascension of Jesus, 3 days after he'd been crucified. You know, barely a week since the Last Supper. Well, a couple of months since the Last Supper. So anyway, yeah. Anyway, that's, by the way, it's also celebrated in the, somehow the same day, the seventh Sunday after Easter, is also the Jewish festival of Shavuoth. I don't know what that is, and I'm not going to look it up right now. I'm going to go back to this poem and see if it makes any more sense now that we know that Pentecost is the descent of the Spirit on the disciples of Jesus. Okay. Come, love who awakens love. Come, burning fire of God's own infinite love. Come, south wind, blow into the sterile and wintry inscapes of our hearts. Provoke sudden springs of lush summers, that we might become sanctuary and pasture, home and nourishment for my beloved shepherd's hungry flock. Okay. All right. Now that's, Come South Wind, a poem for Pentecost by somebody called, I'm wondering, where is, it must be Jessica Powers, I suppose. Okay, here it is again. Here's another version of it, okay? What we just saw was a poem that was an introduction to another poem, Jessica's poem. So, in toto amar servir must be, what's that? All, I don't know what that is. All of, it's Mr. Eddie Calasans. He's the one that wrote this Pentecost poem about my beloved shepherd's hungry flock and the descent of all these wonderful winds on the sterile inscape of our hearts. come south wind meant the Holy Spirit who awakens love to Jessica Cross. Over and over, I say to the south wind, come, waken in me and warm me. I've walked too long with a death's chill in the air. Mourned over trees too long with branches bare. Ice has a paucity for all its brightness, and so has need of your warm reprimand. A curse be on the snow that lapsed from whiteness, and all bleak days that paralyzed my land. I am saying all day to love who awakens love. Rise in the south and come. Hurry me into springtime. Hustle the winter out of my sight. Make dumb the north wind's loud impertinence. And then plunge me into my leafing and my blossoming. And give me pasture, sweet and sudden pasture. Where could the shepherd bring his flocks to graze? Where could they rest at noonday? A south wind, listen to the woe I sing. One whom I love is asking for the summer from me, who still am distances from spring. My friend Janet has been obsessed with the weather. last week we did wind, or in March. Before that we did March, and then we did wind last week. Here's a wind poem. Okay, so. Comes up a wind poem. Wind, Water, and Stone by Octavio Paz, translated by Elliot Weinberger, and composed for Roger Calloy. Okay, let's see if we got any information. Octavio Paz, Wind, Water, and Stone, from the collected poems of Octavio Paz. Okay, yeah. Maybe we'll find out something about Octavio in a minute here. Water, hollow stone. Wind scatters water. Stone stops the wind. Water, wind, stone. Wind carves stone. Stone, it's a cup of water. Water escapes and is wind. Stone, wind, water. Wind sings in its whirling. Water murmurs going by. Unmoving stone keeps still. Wind, water, stone. Earth is another and no other. Crossing and vanishing through their empty names, water, stone, wind. How about that one? That's pretty cool. Octavio Paz. Let's see what we can find out about Octavio Paz. 1914 to 1998, a fella that's a Mexican author, Octavio Paz, enjoyed a worldwide reputation as a master poet and essayist. Although Mexico figures prominently in his work, one of his best-known books, The Labyrinth of Solitude, for example, is a comprehensive portrait of Mexican society. Anyway, so that's Octavio Paz. That's a nice poem. I thought I was cool. And that one is, give me back to my place. I'm trying to get to the right. Where did I get to my poem? Well, okay. I did something to it. There it is. Let's try it once more, because it's Wind, Water, Stone. Water hollows stone. And wind scatters water. Stone stops the wind. Water, wind, stone. Wind carves stone. Stone's a cup of water. Water escapes and is wind. Stone, wind, water. Wind sings in its whirling. Water murmurs going by. Unmoving stone, keep still. Wind, water, stone. Each is another and no other, crossing and vanishing, though they're empty names. Water, stone, wind. That was a good one, Janet. That is a good one. Let's take a short break. Listen to one of my favorite little tunes that actually is. This deserves a little introduction because this is not a diversion from poetry. There have been many poets, and it turns out quite a few songwriters too, that have attempted to, let's call it riff on a famous poem by Rainer Maria Rilke called The Panther. And one of the efforts is by Bruce Coburn. It's called Pacing the Cage. Let me see if I can bring it up here on the guitar. Actually, let's let me look in the, yeah, there we go. Yeah, let's take a sweet look at this here.
Sunset is an angel weeping, holding out a bloody sword. No matter how I squint, I cannot make out what it's pointing toward. Sometimes you feel like you've lived too long. Days drip slowly on the page. You catch yourself pacing the cage. I've proven who I am so many times. The magnetic strip's worn thin. And each time I was someone else, and everyone was taken in. Powers chatter in high places, stir up eddies in the dust of rage. Set me to pacing the cage. I never knew what you all wanted, so I gave you everything. All that I could pillage, all the spells that I could. It's as if the thing were written in the constitution of the age. Sooner or later, you'll wind up pacing the cage. Sometimes the best map will not guide you. You can't see what's round the bend. Sometimes the road leads through dark places. Sometimes the darkness is your friend. Today these eyes scan bleached out land for the coming of the outbound stage. Facing the cage. Facing the cage.
Well, as I said, that that tune goes back kind of ways for Bruce, and a lot of history to his music from that era, if you were, you know, listening to him. Anyway, I said it's a song that's quite derivative of a famous poem by Rainer Maria Rilke called "The Panther." And I looked it up, and one of the problems with Rilke is there's, especially some of these really famous poems, is that lots of people have translated it, and you can read different translations and you say, whoa, you know, you might need to on the one hand you say, gee, I really should learn German if I really wanted to, really sort of, what's he really saying? or what am I missing in the translations if you get, you know, two different translations that, you know, don't go exactly in the same identical direction. You know, you ask questions. On the other hand, that's a possible loss of information, I suppose, that one could get in translation. But you might, on the other hand, there are very few poets, and there really aren't very many. But Rilke and Pablo Neruda come to mind. There's are others, but they're the ones that come to mind. That it doesn't matter if you translate their poetry into another language; it still works. It really does, and that's not true with everyone or with every poet. Some poets' language is just very idiosyncratic to their native language and just can't escape. And I'm not quite sure what makes it different with Neruda and Rainer Maria Rilke, but possibly it is that both those poets like to invent new or rehabilitate very old words. And in doing so, they created words that, new words, that were usually sort of composites of previous ones. And so to the ears of the native listener, it was a new word, but it was resonant with other things. So you might guess at least part of its meaning, even if you had not heard it before, but it was unique. And that quality, as it turns out, causes something to happen to the translator when they're translating a word like that, that has that quality of being new, but also somewhat composite of where it came from. And when that happens, the translator, of course, doesn't have a guide of a lot of examples of how other translators may have translated that word to, suggest, whether they agreed or disagreed with it, or how well they themselves understood both the languages they were trying to move back and forth between. But still, it could be that aspect that helps make Rilke's poetry and Neruda's poetry, of course, from Chile, have that quality. This is called The Panther. His vision, the panther, his vision from the constantly passing bars. Those aren't booze bars, those are prison bars, cage bars. Okay. Pacing the cage. I just wanted to get you. I didn't want to work it too hard. I was going to open the door so you could see the connection between Bruce Coburn's song and this famous poem. His vision from the constantly passing bars has grown so weary that it cannot hold anything else. It seems to him there are 1,000 bars, and behind the bars, no world. As he paces in cramped circles over and over, the movement of his powerful, soft strides is like a ritual dance around a center in which a mighty will stands paralyzed. Only at times, the curtain of the pupils lifts quietly. An image enters in, rushes down through the tensed and arrested muscles, and plunges into the heart, and is gone. That particular translator's name was Stephen Mitchell. You can find that poem on the internet anywhere. Okay, if you hang with it a while and sort of run through it a few times yourself, say it to yourself, it'll stay with you a lifetime. The Panther. Well, I'm going to return back to this another wind poem from a poet named Mike White. Let's find out about Mike White. Since we're doing winds today, apparently. Mike White lives in Salt Lake City, where he is a poetry editor for a magazine called Quarterly West. There you go. Okay. And this one is called Wind, which I was just at. There we go. Not a remarkable wind. So, when the bistro's patio umbrella blew suddenly free and pitched into the middle of the road, it put a stop to the afternoon. Something white and amazing was blocking the way. A waiter in a clean apron appeared, not quite certain, shielding his eyes, wary of our rumbling engines. He knelt in the hot road, making two fingers in white, one leaning over the sprawled, broken shape of the other, creatively great-winged and now so carefully gathered in. Man, he lost me in there. I don't know. Let's try it once more, see if it makes any more sense. Sometimes it makes more sense. Okay, it wasn't. Not a remarkable wind. So, when the bistro's patio umbrella blew suddenly free and pitched into the middle of the road, it put a stop to the afternoon. Something white and amazing was blocking the way. A waiter in a clean apron appeared, not quite certain, shielding his eyes, wary of our rumbling engines. He knelt in the hot road, making two figures in white, one leaning over the sprawled, broken shape of the other, creatively, great-winged, and now so carefully gathered in. Well, okay, I get it now. I had fingers instead of figures. Here goes my macular degeneration. I'm getting in anyway. That was one problem. Well, I found that one a little on the bottom of my list this morning. That one didn't quite connect. We got one more to go, and we'll close with this one for today. If I get it up on the guitar here. Boop, 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 boop. Well, come on, baby. I don't know that we have that one. Oh, there we go. This is another riff on South Wind, but this is by the famous American poet. Used to be like mandatory reading in English classes. I don't know whether they still do that. Carl Sandburg. Let me see if I can get the text of the poem here. There's a lot of ads on this page. Come on. No, don't do that. Just stop. Well, we got a Carl Sandburg, The South Wind Say So. Okay, here it is. If the Oriole calls like last year, when the south wind sings in the oats, if the leaves climb and climb on a beanpole, saying over a song learnt from the south wind, if the crickets send up the same old lessons found when the south wind keeps on coming, well, we'll get by. We'll keep on coming. We'll get by. We will come along. We'll fix our hearts over if the south wind says so. I like that one. If the Oriole calls the like last year, when the south wind sings in the oats, if the leaves climb and climb on a beanpole, saying over a song learnt from the south wind, if the crickets send up the same old lessons found when the south wind keeps on coming, we will get by. We will keep on coming. We will get by. We will come along. We will fix our hearts over the south wind. It just said so. There you go. Okay, the south wind says. Well, anyway, thanks for joining me today for a few poems selected by Janet Harrison, who will be back next week, I hope. And we will keep on delving deep. Now, I was thinking about having one of these difficult political discussions the other day, you know, where, you know, you tread the same ground over and over again with somebody who you've been going over the same ground with over and over. And you wonder, why do you keep doing this? Well, you know, you got two choices. If there's no water, you got to dig deeper or move on. So that's what we're doing with the poems, trying to dig deeper on the water. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next.